Hello and welcome to episode 338 of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. Just as a warning up front, we do go into spoilers on these movies. So if you hear us talking about a movie you have any interest in, maybe skip ahead a couple minutes, see the movie, then come back and listen again and see what we had to say. In any case, I am Doug and I am here with Simon, the creator, president, grand high poobah of everything Extra Features.
Wow, really?
Yes, really.
I did not know that. Thanks for telling me.
You're
Doug,
welcome.
why am I still here after all these episodes? Shouldn't you guys have shipped me out by now?
It's because you love movies so much and you love talking to me.
That's actually, I'll give you that
Okay.
one. Lately, I gotta say, I haven't been loving movies. I've not exactly happy with my own personal list this time, except for a couple of films that were excellent. So what's been going on, Doug? Like, you've been traveling the country. Did you find that local DVD store for me? Or
I
like a
have
thrift
not.
store?
I will probably get into it in one of our movies coming up
Ooh,
today, but
excellent.
there has been some personal developments in my life
Oh, that's, I
that
didn't
I will
ask about
get into in
that.
a movie.
I
Yes.
did not ask about that. I'm asking about
No.
video stores and,
No.
Goodwill, Savers.
I do know that the Criterion 50% off collection is going on right now with Barnes and Noble this month.
Uh-oh.
I will get into what I purchased at the end of the month when I have a stack about, 20 discs high, but I will discuss that then.
Okay. Well, I got nothing else. Oh, I do have an update for our listeners who are, I'm sure, dying to know about my devotion to the Love Boat. By the
Yes.
time we record the next episode, I will be completed all 9 seasons.
Hooray! That's the listeners. I'm being them right now.
They don't want to hear anymore. I quiz my friends now about Love Boat trivia, stupid things that I know about the Love Boat. Dumb things.
Dumb things like what?
Like Julie and Judy, and they switch. Okay, which cast members had the most relatives come to visit?
The captain, I don't know.
The captain is not. Julie's had the most cousins, uncles, aunts. Everything is
Okay.
Julie. Now, it's funny. Isaac Gopher's probably dated the most, I think, of anybody. The
He was the
captain.
bartender, right,
No,
Isaac?
that's Isaac. Isaac.
Okay.
Isaac, I feel bad for Isaac because he's in that 80s and they don't want him to date white women. So unless a
Okay.
black woman comes on the show that week, we don't see much of Isaac. And I'm like, that's not unfair, but that's just me. Worst hairstyles is the captain's daughter. Oh my God. Some of the bad hairstyles they give her every week. And the mermaids with Terry Hatcher in the back that has no speak, maybe one speaking line, I think, in the whole season is
Okay.
not on all season 9, even though I think they get full credit on IMDb. They missed two episodes. They
Really?
don't get
Okay.
to go to Spain. So there's things like that. Ted Lange has directed one episode. He's the only member so far who's directed an episode.
Okay.
Marion Ross is on way too much. And the captain was supposed to marry her last episode, but never went back to it. So I don't know if they hit it on the last episode.
Well, damn. Okay.
And Meryl is the captain's real name, obviously, as you know.
Yes,
And
I know
Burl is
lots.
Gopher's real name. Now, who
Okay.
plays Gopher's mom?
B. Arthur.
Ethel Merman.
I was close. Not
And just
really.
stuff, weird things like that. Like Julie's parents, we never meet. Obviously, we don't meet Gopher's dad. I have no idea who he is. And Isaac's uncle shows up.
Okay.
And Doc just keeps getting ex-wives popping up. I think we meet them all at one point. I think I wish I kept track if we met all the Doc's ex-wives. I know we met two of them for sure. So just weird things like that. And the
Okay.
best episode still is the Ted Knight episode. I think it's season 4 or 5 with Rue McClanahan, a double part episode.
Okay.
is probably my favorite, but there is a good one this season when they run everything backwards. So they show you the end of the
Okay.
episode and then bring it forwards and explain everything with Fred Willard. It was quite good.
Okay.
And there was an, I can't remember the other one. There's been two good episodes this season, but I'm almost done. So that'll be it. No more Love Boat, but Adam's Family and SNL are my next two things.
Okay.
So
And you
excited to go.
and also we're completing Godzilla this week. You're just
I
finishing
know
up
I'm mostly
long-term
upset because
products.
this was the last Godzilla film I'd never seen.
Wow.
I've seen
Okay.
every Godzilla film now. So, okay, we better start the show because people probably already fast-forwarded through my nonsense.
Fair enough. All right, well, I guess starting off, Saturday Night, directed by Jason Reitman, starring Gabriel LaBelle, Rachel Sennott, Corey Michael Smith, Ella Hunt, and Dylan O'Brien. I could start off on this one.
Feel free.
All right. I think it's, first of all, I think it's crazy that Gabriel LaBelle played a young Steven Spielberg, and now he's playing young Lorne Michaels, trying to figure out what Hollywood icon he's going to play next. But right now, I think this movie was good. It just did not have the tension for me. Unfortunately, I know Saturday Night Live is going to succeed. It's been going, it's airing its 50th season right now. There was zero tension for me. I think what was good about this movie was the acting. I think all the actors played their parts very well. I think Dylan O'Brien played a pretty great Dan Aykroyd in this movie. Everything else, it was just kind of, I don't know. I never bought the tension. This movie was really just a 3 out of 5 for me. It was like right down the middle. Nothing spectacular, nothing awful. Just a movie. I'm not sure I'm ever going to watch this one again.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. There's no tension. There's no purpose for tension. And what bugged me is just some of the things that happened continuously. I'm like, there's no real storyline here other than they got to get the show on the air. And I can't believe Belushi didn't sign his contract till 10 minutes before the show started.
That was probably dramatic effect, I would say. I don't know if that's true or not. I never looked it up.
I do say Chevy Chase still comes like an asshole in this film.
Oh yeah, that I'm sure was intentional.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there going, just stupid things that happen. I'm like, no way the lights would fall on somebody. I'm like, really? Like, I feel bad for the SNL guys going, really? The lighting crew is probably a little better than this. The brick thing I thought was dumb. The Milton Berle thing had to go. Oh my God, what was up with Uncle Milton? Could he stay? I mean, but I do have an Uncle Milton story, but I'll tell you at the end. I just stuff like that. I was like, what is going on? And I had problems getting into it. I just felt there was nothing to hold my interest. Like, it was nice seeing people play people I knew, but I felt kind of like, really, they were going to pull the plug of the show? No, they weren't. They'd sunk too much money in by this point, I would think.
Yeah, and like I said, there was no tension because we know
None.
Saturday Night Live is a huge success.
But I was just sitting there going, what is the point of this? Is Jason Reitman, is this just something for you to do? Felt like a writing exercise. He was just writing it so you go, oh, we'll do this point, we'll do that point. There, I agree with you. There's no tension in this film because you already magically know the ending.
Yes.
And I just felt it was a bunch of bit parts going nowhere.
Yes. Yes.
I wanted something of interest to happen in this film, other than, oh, they don't like Jim Henson. Okay, we'll do that. Then we'll go over here and the bricks fall, the lights fall. Like, it's just something keeps happening. I'm like, I don't care. What is the storyline here? Like, they're trying to get this on the air and all this crap's happening. I don't believe any of it.
One of the things I had the hardest time believing was the Deus Ex Machina of Andy Kaufman doing the Mighty Mouse theme song and that changing all the executives' minds. I don't believe that actually happened.
And I don't
And
believe the executives are sitting here on a Saturday night waiting for this to go on air. Like, they're not hanging around for this.
It just I don't know. It was fine, but nothing to write home about. I don't think
Yeah, I
any
agree. And
Oscar
you're
or
giving it a
anything
3.5.
like
I'm giving it like a 2. Watchable, but not good. I don't
That's
know. I
fair.
just feel this is Jason Reitman's problem. He doesn't write. He made one good movie, Juno, maybe two. I'm trying to think of this other one, but it's
Up in the
not
air.
Up in the Air. Thank you. Which
Okay.
excellent. But after that, I'm kind of like everything's been like, eh,
I tend to
really,
I
Jason? Like what? Like this Ghostbusters film was good, the first one. I enjoyed it, but it felt like the first Ghostbusters. You know, I
I
enjoyed the first
disagree on
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
Okay, that's fine. But it just felt like Ghostbusters, he just rewrote his dad's script. I don't think he added anything new. I'm like, oh, I like Ghostbusters. I like this. Fine, I get it. Was it great? No. But I enjoyed it because I like Ghostbusters. And then I saw his next Ghostbuster film. I'm like, oh, that's a piece of junk. Now I see what happens when you have no ideas. I think Jason Reitman's not improving as a director. I find he's just meh.
I've never been a big fan. I think Juno had a very good script. I thought I
Yes.
play I don't well not blame. I give credit to Diablo Cody for that one. Up in the Air, that was maybe the one thing of his that I really enjoyed, but I also think you have George Clooney and Anna Kendrick in that one. I think both of them just being really good in the movie together. Vera Farmiga was fine, but whatever. We're not reviewing Up in the Air.
We have.
I
It's in the
mean, I
archive
agree with you
somewhere.
though. I agree with you though. Jason Reitman is not. I don't know. You liked Ghostbusters Afterlife more than I did. I hated that movie.
Oh, I didn't hate it.
Okay.
I can't, but it doesn't matter. So, nice to see we're in agreement for a change on Saturday Night Live. I
Yes.
did want to give him credit to the casting person. These people looked right to me.
Yes. Yes. And
Everybody looks right.
Dylan O'Brien sounded a lot like Dan Aykroyd. I thought he did a great job.
I think everybody did a great job. You
All right.
know, I was just like, okay. I'm with you 100%. So I guess moving on.
All right. Now we're going on to Joker Folie à Deux,
Uh-oh, I'm in
directed
trouble.
by Todd Phillips, starring Joaquin Phoenix, Lady Gaga, Brendan Gleeson, and Catherine Keener. I guess you're up first on this one.
Oh, I'm going to get hammered because I know you hated it, but I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
I love the first Joker film. I'm no
Okay.
unabashed. And I see this film after watching it. I think I understood what Todd Phillips was after, but I don't think he achieves it. The problem is he decided to make a non-musical musical, if that makes sense. Every dream sequence
Colin.
is a musical. And I'm like, okay, I got the first couple. I'll give it to you, but I don't need a film of this. Because Joaquin Phoenix is such a bad singer. And it's brutal to listen to. I'm like, maybe that's the point, but I'm like, you're not advancing really my storyline here. You almost got like a one-act structure that we're stuck in this one place with this terrible courtroom scene. It was just a mess. And I get where he was going to. The Joker's trying to figure out what he wants. He's trying to figure out where he's going. Gaga wants him to be the Joker. Well, you know what? We all want him to be some form of Joker, as opposed to this wandering buffoon singing about love songs all the time. I don't care after a while. I'm like, okay, I got it. Let's go somewhere. And I find the film doesn't get going to about the last 20 minutes. After 2 hours of this muddling mess of a musical with Gaga and them singing in the end scene. And I'm like, what really was the point of this, Todd Phillips? Like, did you just want to waste $2 million, like $20 million, $200 million is what I'm trying to say, for what? Just to say, oh, look, I did it. I don't know why he did. I really wish He worked on his vision and toned down some of the musical songs, maybe gave Joaquin something to do other than sing badly. I mean, the courtroom was kind of fun when it happened, but I really felt it was kind of pointless in the end. The only thing that makes sense is the very end scene. That was the best part of the movie. But by then, you're just like, you've wasted 2 hours of my time to get to the scene. I mean, I guess I'm going to give Todd Phillips credit for making his vision. It's great, fabulous, she did it. But this is not good in any way. Like, I just felt you took everything you had for the first film and threw it out and decided to make a really bad musical.
All right, this is going to be one of my very, very rare complete pans. I don't like talking bad about movies, but unfortunately, here we are. And this is the movie we're talking about. Full disclosure, I fell asleep during this movie for a little bit.
Oh, I get it.
I 100% missed every scene with Steve Coogan
Wow.
and the sex scene. I fell asleep during I whenever that happened, I missed it completely. However, I don't think I missed that much.
You
Because this
didn't.
movie has zero story. It has nothing new to say. It is a movie about Arthur Fleck being on trial for killing Robert De Niro's character in the first movie, which everybody saw live on television. Why is there a trial for that? I don't know. He should be in jail. This movie is just a rehash of the first film. It goes so far as to replay scenes from the first movie. It's a 2.5 hour clip film. God damn, I hated this movie. For me, the biggest crime is Lady Gaga isn't even given a chance to be Lady Gaga. She doesn't get to show anything of what makes her a star, nothing that makes her magnetic to watch. She sings in this movie, but poorly, and we're never seen why she's this brilliant singer. I just hated this movie with a passion. This movie is awful. I think I gave it a 1 star on Letterboxd, but it should be a 0.5 or a zero. It's bad. This is awful. Do not watch it. You've already
Wow.
seen the story if you've seen the first one.
I like it better in Doug people. I do see some actual movie making talent in this. I just think this was a bad vehicle to go with for the fan base.
Okay.
Don't call this Joker. Call this I Dream a Dream. I Have Vision. Something, but take the Joker out of it. Take Harley out of it, and I think you might have a shot.
Okay.
I don't think this film, it just, it does, I don't know who greenlighted this. Did they read the script ahead of time?
I read that they were changing the script on the day when they were filming scenes.
Oh, well,
So,
it makes sense. Yeah,
yeah.
it's not good, but I'm not going to pan it as bad as Doug.
You're too nice, Simon. You're too nice on this movie. I bet
I'm a
that's something you
Joaquin
never thought
Phoenix
you'd
fan.
hear.
What can I say?
All right, so do you have anything else, or should we move on to our next film?
Oh, let's move on, please.
Okay.
Okay, run.
Our next
Sled.
film will be Wolf. Wolfs. It's hard to pronounce this movie.
Wolves.
Wolfs, not wolves. Wolfs.
Wolf. Wolf.
Wolfs. Directed by John Watts, starring George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Amy Ryan, and Austin Abrams. I guess it's my turn to start here. This movie is everything the instigators on Apple wanted to be. It's a charming kind of, not really a heist flick, but it's bad guys doing bad things, I guess. It is it's a movie about guys covering up
Problems.
problems, crimes. It really coasts on the charms of Brad Pitt and George Clooney, but that is 100% okay because they're very charming individuals and it's fun to watch them bounce off of each other. Yeah, not really much else I could say about this movie. It was just,
Oh, I have lots to say.
okay. Yeah, I just thought it was a fun little crime film. Nothing that's going to win awards, but fun to watch is what I would say.
Dog, come on. You didn't like Joker, but you like this? Oh, this surprises me.
Compared to Joker, this movie is a masterpiece. John Watts is a brilliant director, and I will hear brook no argument about that.
Okay. I think there's 15, 20 minutes of a good film here, and it's right at the beginning. The first scene, 20 minutes, I loved. Absolutely enjoyed it all.
Okay.
Then I got bored. Just sitting there going, let's go somewhere. Waiting, waiting, talking, 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 talking. Oh, Brad Pitt's got an idea. Okay. Let's steal a car first. Yeah. That was terrible. That whole scene looked badly edited, badly shot, terribly paced. Brad Pitt talking to that woman, I must have fallen asleep for 10 minutes. And Clooney's going, what's going on? What's going on? I'm like, I just don't care. Can you shoot somebody?
Which woman, the doctor?
Yes, when Brad Pitt goes to visit her.
Okay, I love that scene. I thought it
Oh,
was great
God.
that
So.
they're both friends with the doctor and neither one of them knew. I like that.
I brought me and my wife watched this together, just so you
Okay.
know. She gave up. She goes, it's boring, and left.
Okay.
So there you go. Jay couldn't hold her. She goes, I know you're gonna finish it. Of course I'm gonna finish it, because that's who I am. So I got to the end of the film and I'm sitting there going, this is just dumb. Dumb, 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 dumb. What is the point of this, Doug? Help me out here. Was I supposed to like this? I don't get it. It was
I think the
cute. It was
point.
well shot. I just don't fucking care by the end of this. I hate all the both these characters should have been shot.
I think it is just trying to cash in on the fun crime films like the Ocean's movies that these two guys were in together. I'm not sure there was a point other than just having fun. I don't think there was any deeper meaning to it. Maybe the fact that everybody needs a friend, perhaps. You can't just go through life alone, and they realize that at the end when they work together and there's the big shootout with the people trying to kill them.
Oh, God,
I
so
don't know.
bad.
I liked it. I had fun with it, but I watched it after Joker Folie à Deux, and Folie à Deux I could not stand.
I just don't see where you're going with the fun here. Where was the fun?
The fun was George Clooney and Brad Pitt bouncing off of each other.
That was in the beginning. It kind of stops by the end of the film.
I disagree when they're interrogating the guy in the rundown motel room and they're like, follow my lead. He's like, all right. And then they just blow past that. When they deliver what the guy to the warehouse. And they're waiting for him, and there's a shootout. I saw the bouncing off of each other and gaining of trust of each other. I enjoyed that.
I have to give you completely disagree with that. I was so bored
Okay.
by this point. I just wanted it to end.
Okay.
And to let people know, I took off Monsoon Wedding for this. And when I finished it,
Okay.
going, Monsoon Wedding had to be a better film than this, is what I said to myself.
I have not seen Monsoon Wedding, so I don't
Neither
know,
have
but
I. So expect it on the next list because
okay.
it's not a big issue. So there you go. See that? I like Clooney. I like Pitt. I just felt this was old man movie for grandmas. Another grandma
Okay.
movie in my world. It's just nothing happens.
Okay. That's fine. All right, so are you ready for our next film?
Sure.
All right, let's do His Three Daughters, directed by Azazel Jacobs, starring Carrie Coon, Natasha Leone, and Elizabeth Olsen as the said three daughters.
Yes. My turn to start. The
Yes.
cast was excellent. Beautiful cast. They all had something to do. They all had something to say. I like the production values in this film. It doesn't try to be something it isn't. Keeps it very dull, mundane, pretty much a one location, other than one other scene when she walks outside, Natasha Lyonne. It works for me. It really does. The problem with this film is we know what's going to happen. Like, you know, once they
Okay.
get there, you know, it's a family drama film. Like, there's nothing's going to blow you away in this. You're basically watching actors. My problem is by the end, I was just like, okay, you're not introducing anything new by the end. Except the part when the dad got up and started moving. I thought that was good. I liked that part. He fixed the thing, said, no, she is my daughter, and scratched that out. I like that. I did like a lot of the wordplay. I thought it was good. But I
Okay.
just never felt it got good to watch. You know what I mean? Like,
Yes.
the actors were fine delivering their thing, but it was just nothing to hold my attention. I got the film within 20 minutes of what we were doing, but I wanted to go somewhere. I don't know where I wanted it, but it wasn't here. I never
Okay.
felt there was enough tension. I never believed the tension half the time. I thought the conflicts were very weak and made up. And I think they could have done a better job, the writer.
Okay. That is fair. Basically, to me, this is a movie that felt like it was a play. I thought it was adapted from a play because of the very little number of settings. However, I looked it up, and no, this was written directly for the screen. But yeah, the movie is very stationary, very talky. If it wasn't for the strength of the three leads, I would have thought this movie was boring. But
Yep.
I ride or die for Natasha Leone
So do
and
I.
Carrie Coon. I think those
Yep.
two are both brilliant. Elizabeth Olsen, I like her, but she hasn't really given a performance so far that I love.
I agree.
Here, I thought she was really good in this movie. Better than Carrie Coon, maybe, but
Yes.
for me, Natasha Leone stole the movie for me.
Absolutely.
I loved her scenes outside with
They were the best scenes of the movie.
the cop, or not the cop, but
The
the
security guard.
guard. Yeah.
Those were the best scenes. I agree with you.
I also loved the scene where she goes off on the nurse saying, "Wow, you're telling us he's gonna die? Wow, tell us something new. He's been dying for the past 3 days." Well, I really liked when she just went off on him. Okay, are you ready for a little sidebar into my personal life during this movie?
Yes.
Okay. Simon knows this, but I have not mentioned this to any of the listeners here. I am in the process of getting a divorce from my wife. And recently I have started dating. One of the sisters in this movie is named Christina, which is my ex-wife's name. The other sister is named Katie,
Oh, God.
which is the
Right.
name of the woman I am dating. So what the fuck, movie? Why are you doing this to me? When I'm watching, I'm like, oh, okay, this is good. Wait a minute, what is going on here?
I forgot. You're right.
Okay, so I guess if we move from Three Daughters, we can now go to Woman of the Hour, directed by Anna Kendrick, starring Anna Kendrick, Daniel Zovato, Nicolette Robinson, and Tony Hale. I guess it's my turn to start here. Woman of the Hour. I understand that it's interesting a serial killer was on the dating game, but aside from that fact, nothing comes of that. He wasn't captured because he was on the dating game. The woman, the bachelorette who chose him, was not a victim of him. It was just an interesting fact. The fact is, he was only captured because one of his victims got away and told the police. This movie, I love Anna Kendrick. Her acting was good. But I think the standout parts of this movie were the little vignettes where you saw the serial killer killing some of his victims. I thought each of those scenes played like a little short film, a little horror film, and I thought those worked much better than the whole. Only because, like I said, there wasn't much tension in the dating game scenes because I looked up the history. I knew nothing really comes of that. It was good, but not great. Again, this is another like right down the middle for me, 2.5 to 3 stars out of five. It's fine. It's a good way to kill a little bit of time, but nothing that you're going to remember come Oscar time, in my opinion.
Well, you liked it better than I did. I know that much.
Ha.
I want to start with Anna Kendrick directing this. Please stop. No more movies, Anna. I find all her shots are pretty much stagnant. Same camera placement, same movement of the camera over and over again. I'm like, enough. There's no depth to this film at all. It feels I'm just watching one big sound stage constantly. And yes, I know they're outside, but I just feel she's got the camera in the same spot constantly. It was driving me nuts. I find the biggest problem with this film is nothing really happens. It's dull. Oh my God. At an hour and a half, I'm just like, is this almost done? There's no point. I had no idea this was a true story. I want that stated
Okay.
till the end of the film. I had no idea. So me watching this, I'm like, where is this going? Why are we here at the dating game? What is going on? Is he going to kill her or something? No, nothing happens. I'm like, really? So the highlights for me are same as you. Those vignettes were great. I like the interplay between the serial killer and the guys on the dating game. I thought that was kind of fun.
Okay.
And I did look that up. He really did say those things. So they lifted that actually up from the actual dating game. That wasn't made up stuff. And I just sat there going, oh, she leaves at the end. Oh, okay. Why do I care? And then they have the longest post-goal script I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, it's still
Okay.
going? It's going. Oh, I'm still reading. Oh, this feels about better, more interesting. Like, I thought the script at the end was more interesting than the film.
That makes sense, yes.
And the comedian, oh, I can't remember. The
Pete Holmes.
comedian, there's a comedian at the beginning that she talks to when he walks down the hall with her.
Pete Holmes, I think, right?
Pete Holmes.
Yeah.
He's the most unfunny comedian, and he's a terrible actor. Unfunny. Unfunny in this film, unfunny in real life. I don't even know why he's in here. He can send me some email, Ian. Extrafeatures@gmail.com, Pete Holmes. I'm right here waiting for it. Prove me
You just
wrong.
made it weird.
I know. It's okay. I feel this film is just dull. I feel bad for Anna Kendrick. She does a great performance, but there's nothing here. Nothing here.
See, I'd like to see her direct again. I think this is her
Oh,
first feature directing. No. She's directed before?
no, I don't want
Or
to
you
see her
mean you just
direct
don't want
again.
to? See, everybody, I think, should be allowed to direct more than one. You can't just take people away after their first film.
Not everybody can be Owen Hayner, okay? Not everybody can be him.
Fair. That's
Three
fair.
good films. No good films for Anna Kendrick.
I wouldn't say this is a bad film. I just think it's a very,
Bland.
very middle of the road film. But a lot of the movies we're talking about today are middle of the road. The only one
Correct.
that wasn't so far is Joker, which I think that was a horrible piece of shit.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so I guess we can move on to Shin Godzilla. directed by Hideki Anno, Shinji Higuchi, starring Hikiro Hagasawa, Yutaka Takanuchi, Satomi Ishihara. There you go. I got those names.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Yes.
Good job, Doug.
I practiced. All
It's
right,
my turn. Yay, I
yes,
got
your turn.
Godzilla. Oh my God, why have I never watched this?
I don't know.
This is everything I've wanted in a Godzilla movie. Everything. So good.
Yes.
Absolutely loved this film. I loved the way they had depth to every character. Godzilla had depth. I had a little bit of issue with the president. I think he needs to make some better decisions to prime minister. He's a little slow on the upkeep. But overall, I friggin' love this thing. Good special effects. Godzilla's destroying things, which is what I need. And the characters are good. I liked all the people in the cabinet. I think it moves well. It has a good ending. And they explain a lot. Very easily, how maybe some people have never seen a Godzilla film, and I think they get a good job of catching them up.
Yes. All right, I love this movie as well. When I first watched the movie, I thought that weird creature going through Tokyo would actually evolve into the monster Godzilla fights in the movie.
So did I.
Instead, it evolved into Godzilla himself. And I think this is maybe one of the scariest looking Godzillas in cinema. I just love the danger that Godzilla posed in this movie. From his tail shooting lasers to when they finally defeat him and freeze him, it looks like his tail is morphing into like human bipedal creatures that it looks like he maybe would have spread out like a zombie invasion or something, or some kind of monster invasion. I love that. I think this take on Godzilla is brilliant. As for the human characters, I actually loved them too. It felt like a Godzilla film mashed up with the British sitcom Thick of It, which is Thick of It's not about the higher ups in British government. It's the local, low-level lawmakers, and that's who would deal with a problem like Godzilla. It wouldn't be the prime minister. It would be these local people in Tokyo figuring out how to get the military in or what to do. I love this movie. I gave it a 4 out of 5. It's not quite a perfect 5 out of 5 like Godzilla Minus One, but this one I think is just a brilliant movie that can be scary at times with the look of Godzilla here.
Okay, people, are you ready for my next thing? Doug already knows, but I'm going to let the audience
Yes.
know. We are now going to start the Horror 50 Pack. 50 horror classics. Now, you could get these at Target for $5 years ago, and lucky me has one. Doug did not want to do the classic science fiction invasion one that was $5, which has never been
No.
opened. He can acknowledge that. So,
Yes.
expect a lot of bad B movies coming up in the
I'll
next
take it.
little while, but that's what Doug wanted, so that's fine. But I want Doug to back me up. The cover, it's got a really cool Frankenstein,
Yes.
which I
Gotta
do
love
like.
Boris.
So yeah, we're done, Godzilla. Should I be crying now? Like, this was a great send-off for me.
Yes, probably. I mean, Godzilla, there was a lot of bad Godzilla movies, but it's the handful of really good ones that make Godzilla a character with a legacy that sticks around.
But I will say, the guy that made Godzilla Minus One definitely saw this film.
Yes,
Because I see
yes.
he understood what he needed to make a good Godzilla film. And I'm not saying he copied it. I don't want anybody to think I did that. His film is definitely a different film.
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
All right, I guess we're moving on to The Clock, directed
Oh,
by Vincent
yes.
Minnelli, starring Judy Garland, Robert Walker, and James Gleason. All right, I guess it's my turn to start here. This movie went way darker than I thought it would. I was expecting a slight whimsical romantic comedy, but at the end, it really grappled with the life-changing decisions that Alice and Joe made. It doesn't go very deep, but the fact that it didn't end with that right after it didn't end right after they got married, with this big happy ending, that was a pleasant surprise to me that it actually deals with, yes, we actually did get married. This is a life-changing decision, and guess what? You're going back to war. Yeah, it surprised me that it went in that direction. I thought the acting was good, but nobody really blew me away. The silly bits were kind of over the top for me, like Joe driving the bus when the bus driver couldn't. I forget if he was drunk or if he was beat up. I
Oh,
forget what happened.
I think he got beaten up.
Yeah.
They never really said anything, but he seemed to be able to talk no problem. Talk
Yeah.
no problem. Have no problems with his speech. But I think he got his ass kicked. I think he
Yeah.
got jumped.
And the clock was both literal, it's where they met up, and it was also a metaphor for the time they had together. Yeah, it again, 3, maybe I'd go 3.5 to 3.5 stars, but kind of right down the middle for me.
Yeah, I want to go back. So, you know, the production, I did do some reading on this. They had to build that escalator. It's all shot on set. The whole film is shot on set.
Really? Okay.
Whole thing, because they were worried about going outside because of World War II.
Okay.
So they were worried. I got to give Minnelli credit. I think he's got a very good sense of pacing at times for the film. I like his shot selection again. I think he knows how to get what I'm looking for. I don't think this film is that good, but I like
Okay.
his shot selection. I think he definitely gets the way to shoot Garland correctly, the way to shoot Joe correctly, and the way things move. I think he's always got them moving. You don't really see a lot of stagnant shots, which is probably my problem with Woman of the Year and My 3 Daughters. We did too many stagnant shots,
Okay.
not enough movement. I mean, this is a basic story, but it
Yes.
keeps moving. The film is always moving. The escalator scene at the beginning is great. We're on the date on the bus, even though I know how he caught that bus. Okay, you know, he's moving. The
Yes.
scenes in the apartment, they're moving. Whenever they're doing something, they're always moving. I think that's great.
Okay.
And I think they find the script a little basic, but I find the shot selection and the moving around of the part pieces was great.
Okay.
Like even when they take the bus driver home, the woman's making breakfast and they go through his story. So we even get a backstory at the same time while they're eating, which I thought was great. So the food's not
Yes.
prepped ahead of time. You see that? I'm like, okay. The end of the film I thought was a little wonky, but I think they were trying to do that in romantic comedy, trying to get the puzzle pieces together to get married.
Yes.
I thought that was like, okay. I can think. I don't think today's audience would accept that, but I think they would at that time.
Yeah, and I, to me, I thought that's why it would end right after they got
Yes.
married. I was not expecting it to go on for a few more minutes after that.
And parts like that. And I still find Garland has problems when she's not singing. In all her
Okay.
films, I find when she's not singing, she is not a good actor. She's not a good dramatic actor. And I've seen it over and over again in her films. She's a great singer. But I find she suffers in these films because she's trying not to be a singer and to be a dramatic
Okay.
actress. And I really feel she never shows me that enough. Joe
Okay.
is excellent. Joe is just a wonderful actor and really brings her up. Like, I thought her roommate did a great job. I thought the guy that was in the roommate's room did a good job.
Okay.
My problems is always with Garland. I never can buy her as who she is. I don't know why. Maybe it's a Wizard of Oz effect. You know what I
Okay.
mean? But I don't have it in Meet Me in St. Louis because she's singing. So I just feel as a dramatic actor, she can't bring it for me. Does she do it for you?
She's fine. I
See,
didn't
I
hate
don't
her.
think she's even fine. I don't hate her. I just don't
Okay.
think she's ever good.
Yeah, I didn't bump up against any of those issues. I believed her as the woman in the city looking for love. I bought that.
But was she looking for love? I don't think she was. I think it just sort of happened in this film.
I think
Joe's
she
looking for
was.
love.
Joe is, but I think she was as well, just because, you know, she was being set up by her roommate to go out on dates, and yeah, I think she might have been looking for love.
I don't know, because I think we see that scene in the park. When Joe's talking about the country, she's talking about the city and how much she loves the city and enjoying the city. I don't really see a
Okay.
love. I know they kiss at that point, but I don't see her going
Okay.
on about love. That's where I would expect to have seen that.
Okay, I see where you're coming from.
I don't know. That's just me.
Okay.
So I still think Cabin in the Sky, since we're doing Minelli, is a better film than this. Still his best
Yes.
film we've seen is Cabin in the Sky.
Yes, I 100% agree on that.
And I feel bad for our listeners. We're not doing Meet Me in St. Louis because I've seen it.
Okay.
So I know what already your next film, but Doug probably doesn't. But sorry, you'll get it on the list and we'll do it.
Okay.
So we'll see where Minelli goes. Like I said, we're watching Minelli because I haven't seen all these films. So
Okay.
there we go. I don't think Clocks is terrible. I just don't think it's good. Parts of
Fair.
it I like.
All right, so now we're on to our final movie of the podcast, and this was the Doug's pick.
Oh,
And
yes.
I picked Funny Games.
I don't remember the other two films I gave you options for. I have no idea what they were.
I don't remember either, but I saw Funny Games.
Have
And
you
I thought it
seen this
would,
before?
yes, and I thought it would be a very good discussion, especially the same week as Joker Folie à Deux.
True.
So,
That's why
it's
you
Funny
picked it?
Games.
Why did
Yes.
you pick this?
Multiple reasons. Like I said, I thought it would be a good discussion parallel with Joker. This movie is easily streamable in the US on Max. And I think it's going to lead to a decent discussion about director intent, I'll say.
Okay, start.
Okay, so yeah, directed by Michael Haneke. So yeah, I picked this one because there are two directors who I think really set out to challenge the audiences and to provoke them. One of them is Gaspar Noé, the guy who directed Irreversible, which is a brutal movie to watch, very artful though. And the other director is Michael Haneke, who directed this movie. I think both directors provoke the audience on purpose. I think that they really see movies as a medium of art, not necessarily a way to tell a story. This movie in particular, I'm just going to read my notes here because it's easier for me. This movie in particular is challenging to the audience, especially of horror films. We're horrified by Peter and Paul's actions. But Haneke is also saying that we, as the audience, are responsible for the violence because we're watching it. It's not fair when the good guys get the upper hand and kill one of the home invaders. Well, what I mean, it's not fair that when the good guys get the upper hand and kill one of the home invaders, his partner gets to hit a literal rewind button on a remote control to bring him back. And I feel that Haneke is saying, isn't that what happens in slasher franchise films? Every time you think you killed Jason in Friday the 13th, he comes back in the next movie we're just cutting down the time as to when he dies and comes back in this movie to literal seconds instead of a year in between movies. So we think Jason or Freddy is taken care of at the end of the film, but he always comes back. And here it's just a human character, not necessarily a supernatural monster. But that is what we paid to see. We paid to see a monster, this one a human, doing horrible things to people just because they can. I understand people do not like this movie. It is very dark, very challenging. I personally loved it. I don't need to see it again and again and again, but I enjoyed it. I gave it 4 out of 5 stars for me. You're muted, Simon.
I know. I'm an idiot.
Okay.
Figure I stop coughing occasionally.
Okay.
Okay. I found this film very frustrating at times. I see where you were going with. I'm not saying I was frustrated with the film. I was frustrated where it was going at times. It's a
Okay.
very hard watch for me. It's not the kind of horror I like, but it's a
Okay.
good film. I don't want people to think I don't like this film. It is a good film. So it's a very hard film for me to watch because I really don't like slow-moving horror in any way. And that's what this is. It's just a tension builder. And it builds and it builds. I'm like, oh my God. And it works for me. I hate to say I actually like this in the end. There's some scenes I just find very intense to watch because I
Oh
really
yes.
felt this
Oh
felt
yes.
very real to me what a home invasion would actually feel like. I did think there's a little comedy at the end when they deal with something on a boat.
Yes.
I thought that was a little bit of comedy. I was like, okay. I think the casting of the two leads is the most important part of the film, the two main villains.
Yes, they need to be charming in a way.
And they have to be annoying as hell. After you get to know, as soon as you meet them, you know they're a problem.
Yes.
You're like, this is an issue. The dog scene was quite interesting.
Okay, yes.
When they deal with that problem and the little kid problem and this kind of stuff, I'm like, this is a tough watch for a lot of people. I'm sure a lot of people had issues watching this film.
Yes,
Because
I agree 100%.
I don't think I'd ever watch this again, but it's very well filmed. And again, I think the problem for me is it's too believable that this could happen.
Okay.
Because I don't see a problem with it. I'm like Jason is supernatural to me. Freddy's supernatural. Most of the slashers I watch, yeah, this couldn't happen. I finished watching this going, holy crap, this feels so friggin' real to me.
Yes.
Disturbingly real. So I give the director full credit. I think he did his job for me. He sucked me in and I couldn't get out. But I liked everything. I think the thing with the film is it's not flashy.
No.
And the lighting is very dim and very just basic. So it really feels you're at somebody's house all the time.
It feels like a shot looking almost like a drama, not necessarily a horror film.
Which is why it works for me. So kudos to Funny Games and watching it, but I will
Yes.
never ever watch this again.
That is fair.
Okay, Doug, since I've not left the house, well, I have, but I'm working so much, I do have one quick story for the usher.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm working a tribute to Bob Seger. What could go wrong? Place is packed. I have a woman that goes up and starts bugging the singer. I didn't worry about it. I'm off stage and worried, but then he calls her up. Not on stage, just to talk to him. So she goes up, mumbles something about time. I really couldn't understand her. I gave her a few, then she comes up again, like, okay, can you sit down now? I literally had to go talk to her.
Okay.
The guy comes back from intermission. She gets up again and goes to talk to him. I'm like, hey, go sit down. She gets up a fourth time. to go talk to the singer. So I had to go get security to go speak to her
Wow.
because she's not listening to me. In the end, she got tossed out of a Bob Seger tribute show
Okay.
for being inebriated. How was that?
It's a decent story.
Okay, I have one more quick one. This one's quick. So I'm working,
Okay.
we have these Greek singers that come in to sing. So I'm upstairs in the balcony section, which you can't dance on, you can't stand on, because it's a fire code. We gotta keep people off there. This guy just won't move. I'm not moving. No problem, sir. So I went and got security, and it's very dark. I walk her over and I flash her. Security, meet guy that wouldn't move. Immediately took a seat 2 seconds later.
Nice.
Those are my stories, people. Sorry, I don't have any, I didn't buy anything, so.
Okay. We have to do your top 100, your bottom 10.
Oh, almost forgot. Hold on, I gotta go pull that up. You tell your story and I will pull it up.
I don't have much of a story. I don't really have any story. This is normally where we would do the what did you buy? And I said I'm going to save that for the end of the month when the Criterion sale ends.
I'm pulling up my top 100 now. I forgot to get it
Okay.
loaded. So you're gonna have to tell them something, Doug, while I go look at it.
Okay, I will tell them that I mentioned earlier in this podcast that I am dating a woman named Kate, and she had a preview of my top 100 movies.
What?
Yes, and she I introduced her to Sunshine this past weekend. She hadn't seen
Interesting.
it. It's not streaming anywhere, so we got together and we watched Sunshine together, and we had a lovely time, and then we had a nice discussion about the movie afterwards.
Yeah, making me download it. So it'll be a moment, people, but I will have it. Hopefully it downloaded. I'm pulling up my downloads. Oh my God, how much crap is on here? Where is
At
it? I
least a
just
hundred movies.
got it.
Okay.
Just gonna open it now. Sorry, I should have been organized. This is all my bad.
It
Okay.
is. I'm dying to know what your top 100 are.
I have 101 actually, because I did this years ago. I have not done this probably about 10 years, but it's been sitting here. Okay, I don't have to do 101 because it's 100 is Deer Hunter.
Okay, I've seen that one.
99 is Forrest Gump.
Seen it.
98 is Grand Budapest Hotel.
Seen it.
97 is Spartacus.
I have not seen Spartacus,
Well,
believe it or
Doug's got some
not.
work to do now. 96 is Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
I have seen that.
95 is Tootsie.
Yes.
94 is Finding Nemo.
Of course, I've seen that many times. I had kids when it came out.
93 is Midnight Run.
Love that movie.
92 is Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Wow, I have not seen Yankee Doodle
Oh,
Dandy.
Doug's got a busy few weeks. I love it. 91 is Hurt Locker.
Have seen Hurt
And
Locker.
90, I know Doug has maybe or maybe not seen Battle of Algiers.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, that's
I've
2
heard of it, but I
hours.
haven't seen it.
There you go. That's Simon's top 10 list from about 10 years ago. I've never updated, and I really should. Because there are things I would change now on there. I'd add more films.
Okay.
So there you go. Now I got some watching to do.
Yes.
So Simon has had a top 10 list. I made other people write their top 10, 100 lists for me. And people tell you it is hard. People are like, oh, I could do a top 100 list. You can't. It is very time consuming.
It's hard, but it's also, I now have a second list of another 100 films that I
Oh,
love.
really?
Yes, I maybe not a full 100 yet, but at least 85 other
Okay.
movies that
We'll put
could
the
be
challenge
in
up here
this.
now. When we're done this list, I will attempt to make a second 100 list.
Okay, let me count how many I have on my secondary list
This
right
is
now. I have.
insane. I never thought of doing a second one because there are films I would have added to my list.
Right now, my second list is at 61. I have
Okay.
61
Well,
movies
give me
on my
some
second
time,
list.
and when we finish this version, I will write a second one.
Okay.
Because Shin Godzilla should be on it, but I didn't see it when I did that list. So we're it, Doug. You get your favorite time of year. If they make
Yep.
it.
I will wait for it to come out on Criterion Collection and then get it 50% off in July or November.
Bye.
Toodles.